Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, but just in case I don't make it, tell them about Black Plight Jacob. It goes cloud by day, fire by night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The books were open, the judges just in the right. What the heathens know about Black Plight? Lucifer trying to sit high as a satellite. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say a big boom created all life. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They try to change time, sell day in the night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say y'all son is named J. Christ. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The scriptures got us black, but the pictures paint us white. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They took Israel and switched them to Ishmaelite. Now you know they don't know about Black Plight.
Let's see what we can learn here. And we're going to see if this is the truth, because if it is the truth, it's consistent with the words of the Most High. Because that's how we learn what truth is.
Hallelujah and shalom, and welcome to the Black Plight Radio Show. I am your host, Moray Yishya Yisrael, here on blogtalkradio.com/houseofisraelATL to bring you the Black Plight Radio Show. All praises to the mighty Yahweh, and all glory unto the King of Kings, and the Master of Masters, the Elohim of Elohim, Yahweh of Hosts. Praise the Most High Yah. And here on the Black Plight Radio Show, we're going to bring you a great, great show tonight, and we're going to be teaching about exactly what the show is named, the Black Plight. We're going to be looking at our plight since our captivity. And what does this mean? And does this plight that we're going through prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are the children of Israel? But before we get into our discussion, we're going to play a song by Eliah Israel. A song that is a tribute to Yahweh's prophet, the late Moray Elisha.
And that's very far from thee to do after that manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked.
Yahweh.
Our favorite teacher, thus saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, he that made the same mistake again, he called it insanity. Show me a man without adversity, I show you a man without character. Send his messenger, it was all to prepare us for disaster. Time is moving faster when the remnant makes it home, they'll be all living lavish. If he won't treat you right, won't teach you right. Serve Yahweh with all your soul and all your might. It'll make a brass monkey cry. True for tradition, to be the hearts of the fathers. Back to the children, there is no other God beside my maker name, Yahweh, a host. And there is no Holy Ghost. And supposing you thought he came to be priest on this earth, he said no. Old man for counsel and young man for woe. For show to the late great prophet who taught us the knowledge of Yahweh. Therefore I pay homage, giving glory to the Holy One, the King of the Kings, the strength of Israel. One day he redeemed
Yahweh. Lord, are my strength and length of days. Remember, Lord, of His servant Moshe. To the Lord's testimony. For they don't they be safe and safe.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And welcome back to the Black Plight Radio Show. And that was Eliah Yisrael with a tribute to More Elisha Yisrael, Yahweh's servant, the prophet of the Creator. And I'd like to give all thanks and honor to the Most High for allowing me to be able to be taught by Yahweh's servant, More Elisha Yisrael, that he was my teacher and a good friend. And I praise the Most High Yah that I was able to be in his servant's presence to learn the words of the Creator. Hallelujah. Tonight's show, we'll be discussing our plight of the plight of the black man and woman in this country, and specifically America, the United Snakes of America. Because it is here where Yahweh has sent the worst of Israel amongst the worst of the heathen. And we're receiving the worst of the captivity. Even though you might look around the earth and see some of our brothers and sisters suffering famine and suffering colonialization and oppression, but they still have more of a sense of unity than us. They still have many, many ties back to their original culture than we do here. We have been completely destroyed in this land. And it is showing throughout the world the destruction of the black man and woman in the country of the United Snakes. Go with me to your book, the Holy Scriptures, to the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And if anybody, throughout the time of our conversation, would like to make a comment or has a question, the number is 323-443-7418. Call that number, ask your questions, make your comments. 323-443-7418. And you press 1 when you're on the phone line. And we will come to you when it is the time for questions and comments. But let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And let's start reading in the 36th verse, or 35th verse. Yahweh shall smite you in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. And Yahweh is telling us what he will do unto his people, which is the children of Israel, or who are the children of Israel, if we do not keep the laws that he has given to us. And we see one of the curses is being smited in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch, which is boils, that cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Yahweh shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, to a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shall you serve other deities, wood and stone. And this is a truth. We have been brought to other nations where our foreparents have not known like this country, the United Snakes of America. And we're here and we do not know about this place. And we've been forced to serve false deities of wood and stone, such as the Christ of the New Testament. Many of you know him as Jesus. Many of you know him as Yeshua. Many of you know him or call him plain out God. And he is about as real and about as powerful as Wolverine. But we've been forced to serve these deities. If you don't know who Wolverine is, he's a funny book character, comic book character, a movie character. He's not real. And we've been forced to serve these false gods, even wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, as we are this day, a proverb. All the proverbs they have to say about Israel today, all the proverbs they have to say about the black man and woman in America today, there's many of them, there's so many of them, a comedian could do a whole stand-up comic strip about just mentioning various proverbs about the black man and woman. And a byword, and that's even what we're known by, just period. We're not known by Israel. We're not known as the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, or Hebrew Israelites. But they know us as the black man and woman, niggers, Negroes, coloreds, Africans, Afro-Americans, African-Americans, Morenos, we go down the line, but they know us as these various bywords and proverbs among all nations where Yahweh shall lead you. Thou shalt carry much seed into the field and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt not drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all your coast, but thou shalt not anoint yourself with oil, for your olive shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt father or begot sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. And that's what has gone on for hundreds of years. All the sons and daughters of Israel have been sent into captivity, dispersed throughout the four corners of the earth. The Almighty furthermore stated in verse 43, the stranger that is inside you shall get thee up above you very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. And this is the quite clear case of our people all over, even our own land. The stranger, the sojourner, the foreigner, the heathens, they have become high above us. So high above us that they were able to take over our land and make it seem like it's their own. And now, even in the place where we're at, the stranger gets high above us. we might have been in this country just as long as the white man. But all the other people, foreigners to this country, when they come in here, they get high above us very easily because it's part of our curse that we will not prosper because we have turned away from the law, statutes, and judgments of Yahweh. Verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till thou be destroyed. And these curses have pursued us and have overtook us and have came upon us. And we are destroyed today. We are now not even in the semblance of a nation, but we are nothing but an assimilated group of people to this American Babylon. And Yahweh said he will do this because we hearkened not unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. And they shall be for a sign and for a wonder upon your seed forever. So you see, this is a sign to us. And we know that this is upon us because of our disobedience. So those that might not quite understand, what is these laws? What are these commandments that we're breaking, that the black man is breaking, that is causing 13 people to be shot in a park in Chicago? What are these commandments? And what are these laws that we're breaking that is causing them to demonize a black man across the TV and blaming him for the massacre of 12 people at a Navy Yard in Washington, D.C.? What are these laws and what are these commandments that we're breaking that is causing the imprisonment of over 1 million black men and women in the United States today? What are these laws and statutes and commandments that we're breaking, and by breaking them is causing us to murder over 700,000 fetuses every year? What are these laws and statutes and commandments that we are breaking that is causing us to be the most impoverished group of people in this country? What kind of law comes with that kind of consequence if you break it? Who can ever do something like that? The only one that can do this and has done this and will continue to do this is the creator of the heavens, earth, and sea, Yahweh. Because when you break Yahweh's laws, you go against life. And when you go against life, you usher in death. And once we usher in death, we usher in darkness, confusion, mayhem, bedlam, and all types of destruction and deterioration upon your people. One law that we break and that we broke can cause much destruction. Just look at one law in Leviticus, the 19th chapter. in the 29th verse states, "Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness." One law, just one law. Once we break this law, selling our own daughters as prostitutes can cause the land to succumb to whoredom and fill the land with wickedness. Why would this one law of selling your daughter as a prostitute cause your land to be a land of whoredom and a wicked land? Because, don't you know, people prostitute their daughters and people prostitute women, and you have cult prostitutes, prostitutes for various deities. They sell their body and they do whorish acts for deity rituals, for idolatry activity. You start allowing all this type of activity inside your coast, and all types of confusion breaks loose. Look what happened. And he didn't even sell his daughter. He just started catering to idolatrous women. The king of Israel, the wisest man upon the face of the earth. Look what he did in the book of 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. Start reading at the first verse where it states, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which Yahweh said to the children of Israel, Thou shalt not go into them, neither shall they come into you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their deities. Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other deities, and his heart was not perfect with Yah, his Elohim, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after the star deity and the goddess of the Zidonians, and after the deity and the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and went not fully after Yahweh as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for the sun deity, the abomination of the Moabites, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for the owl deity, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrifice to their gods. And Yahweh was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, which had appeared to him twice." You see, he didn't even sell his daughters to prostitutes. He didn't even sell his daughters to be prostitutes, but he just started messing with strange women, and they turned his heart away. And Almighty warned against that, and he also warned against selling your daughters as prostitutes so the land does not fall to wickedness. Just breaking of one law. Just one law can do that. And that's because these are Yahweh's laws. And let's look at some of the other commandments that we, the children of Israel, have transgressed in so much that it has caused us to be in this captive state today. In the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, the first verse reads, "And Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Now, if the Most High told us this, then who are these other gods that we have before him? This breaking of this law has caused many of our issues today. Many of our people are Christians and Muslims, Buddhists, and all types of other religions. And by being in these false religions, it has caused our people to not call on Yahweh. And once you do not call on Yahweh, you are calling on vanity. For if we weren't calling on vanity, then why is the nation that we live in, why is it eating us up? Why aren't we becoming a prosperous people? Where is our prosperity? You can't say that we're a prosperous people when 13 innocent people are being shot. Babies shot in the head. Babies being shot while they're in the stroller. Women being shot just in their house. Men and women being gunned down by police for no reason. Where is all this coming from? If we're such a prosperous people, why are many of our people gathered in the state capital or the nation's capital networking over some Congress people, congressmen, call it the Black Caucus Convention, I believe, happening this week? Many of our people going there to network and solicit and petition for notoriety and recognition and representation in this wicked government that has not treated us with any kindness, as Yahweh said it wouldn't. Where is our prosperity? Well, our prosperity is gone from us because we have not walked in the ways of Yahweh. Look what it says in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the 3rd verse. It reads here, "And he humbled you and allowed you to suffer hunger and fed you with manna, which ye knew not, neither did your fathers know, and he might take you, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. Your raiment waxed not old upon you, neither did your foot swell these 40 years. You shall also consider in your heart that as a man chasten his son, so Yahweh your Elohim chastises you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim to walk in his ways and to fear him. But we decided not to do these things. So therefore we're serving our enemies for the one of all things, in nakedness, in hunger, and in thirst, for the one of all things." These things have fell upon us because we have decided to call upon JC. How many times has JC saved our people? Let's count them on our hand. Exactly The number you came up with is the number I've came up with, and the number many of Yah's servants have came up with, when we consider all the deities in the earth and how many times they saved our people. You could count it on your hand because it's zero. So you don't even have to waste a finger on counting how many times these deities have saved us, because you cannot count on them. They're not reliable. You could call on Christ all you want, but he's never saved us. Yahweh never spoke of him. Yahweh never mentioned him. Can somebody call us right now at 323-443-7418 and show us where Yahweh mentioned Christ of the New Testament, that he would save us from all of our sins? I would like to see that. Or can somebody explain to us why Chicago, Illinois, which is the headquarters city for the Nation of Islam, which is one of the major black centers of Christianity, with Jesse Jackson and all these other preachers there, this is the major headquarters for all these major black ministers, and they're not doing anything worth noting that's helping the people that are shooting each other and killing each other every day in that city or in New York. Well, Al Sharpton is. Babies getting shot in the stroller. People getting murdered every day from the black community that they claim they're standing up for. They're on the radio every day speaking of what they're doing. And they're not doing anything, but they're saying that they're reverends. Why would we even listen to these people? You see what it says in the book of Philippians. Let's go there so we can describe to you all that still believe that this American way of life is something actually prosperous and fruitful, when it is nothing but an illusion. It is the matrix, and you're high off of the blue pill. But we're trying to give you the red pill today, so you can wake up. In the book of Philippians, the second chapter, let's start reading at the fifth verse. Paul lets you understand what kind of mind a Christian is to have. Let this mind be in you, which was also in JC. Now, wouldn't you want his mind, Christians? Because this is what JC thought. So, Paul's about to let you know what JC thought, so you can have these same type of thoughts. Let this mind be in you, which also was in JC, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal, meaning be the same as, equivalent to, comparable to. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's what he says here. And then he says that he thought it not robbery to be equal with the Most High. Let that mind be in you. Well, I see this mind is in Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and various other so-called reverends, because when did the Almighty ever give anybody, or where do you ever see in any holy book where the name reverend was supposed to be upon a man. In Psalms 111, verse 7, states, the works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. Now, isn't it the same ministers that have been exposed for their lies and deceit amongst the people? They can't have their works being done in truth and uprightness. All these various ministers across the country and world, their works aren't done in truth and uprightness. But Yahweh's works are. He sent, verse 9, redemption to his people, and he has commanded his covenant forever and ever. What promises do these so-called reverends make today that are forever and ever? They're about as long as the next fundraiser. But Yahweh's covenant is forever and ever. Holy and reverend is his name. That's for the Most High. That's a title only for the Most High. You shall only fear Yahweh. So we shall not call anybody else feared, reverend, at all, ever. But you see these ministers carry these titles, and they're not doing nothing worth the fear of a rat. But you see the cities where they're in and the towns that they're at. Look around them. And as Christ said, look at the fruit of the tree. Look at the fruit that the tree bears to see if it is actually something good. And we see that it is not. We see that there is not much good fruit coming out of the communities of black men and women in this country at all. Our fruit is spoiled. Why? Why is that? Well, look in the book of Hosea. And we're going to go to the fourth chapter. And we're going to read the sixth verse, and it reads in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your Elohim. I will also forget your children. You see why our fruit is spoiled? It is because we have rejected the knowledge of Yah. And what is the knowledge of Yah? Look in Proverbs, the 12th chapter. The first verse states, whoso loves instruction loves knowledge, but he that hates reproof is brutish. Do you understand? Knowledge of Yahweh is instruction. And the word Torah means instruction. The law is the instructions of the Most High. So when you reject Yahweh's knowledge, you're rejecting the law. And once we reject the law, we reject life. You don't believe me? This is the second time I said that. You're saying, why you keep on saying that when we reject the words of Yah, we're rejecting life? Go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. And we're all criminals to this fact that we are rejecting the Almighty. We're rejecting him, and by rejecting him, we're rejecting life. In Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, the 15th verse states right here, see, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil. And that I command you this day to love Yahweh, thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And Yahweh, your Elohim, shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. But if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, if we break the first commandment that Yahweh gave us, which is to have no other Elohim, he said, I denounce to you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither you go to pass over to Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both ye and your seed may live, that you may love Yahweh thy Elohim, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers, and to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. This is why, if you reject the knowledge of Yah, you reject life, because his word is your life. And it is what we must accept to live. The whole world will come to this fact. The entire earth, every inhabitant upon the earth, will come to the realization that we must all accept Yah's law, and they will come to the children of Israel in order to receive the words of Yahweh. So it is incumbent upon us first, the children of the Most High, to accept his words so we can teach the entire earth the ways of the Most High. If we do not do this, then we will not be a part of that number that teaches the earth the law, that is the rulers and counselors and chieftains of the earth. This is our inheritance. Look in the book of Isaiah, the second chapter, and we'll see what the world will say. The first verse. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Yehuda and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the house, to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And who is going to be giving this word? Look in Isaiah 43. Is it going to be the Muslims from Mecca? Is it going to be the Buddhists from India? Is it going to be the Christians from the Vatican? Is it going to be, I don't know, pick one, but it's not going to be them. It's not going to be the Kemetites or the Egyptians, however you want to say them, from Egypt. It's going to be the word of Yah out of Zion, there where the law of Yahweh go forth, and who is going to be the ones witnessing to this? Well, let's look at it. In the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, the 10th verse, it states, "Ye are my witnesses, and, save Yahweh, and my servant." Who is he speaking of? He must be speaking of Israel. And let's prove that. In the 44th chapter, the first verse, it states, "Yet now hear, O Yaakov, my servant, and Yisrael, whom I have chosen. Thus saith Yahweh that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, Jacob, my servant, and you, Yeshurun, whom I have chosen." Israel is the servant. Israel are the witnesses. Isaiah, the 49th chapter, will further establish that the ones that will be delivering the word of Yahweh from Mount Zion in the last days to the whole earth, Isaiah 49, verse 1, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. Yahweh has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hidden me, and said to me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, whom I will be glorified." Hallelujah. So, it is the Almighty who has said that Israel is his servant, his world without end, the ones that will deliver the word of Yah. Now, if we do not accept the law, then we won't be there. We won't be doing that. We'll continue to be desolate. But it is because we have turned away from this law that we're receiving this punishment. And it is in order to return us to Yahweh's law. We rather be afflicted now, but we're going to get to the point, and that point is almost here. Our people are suffering very terribly, and we're coming to the point. It is on the horizon. It's like a day breaking forth, how close we are to the point of breaking down and just asking the only and one true creator to deliver us from our plight. And once we come to this point, it will be because the horror has become unbearable. For some of us, it is already unbearable, but it will be unbearable as a whole people. There won't be one person that will not receive this destruction and torment of this punishment that we are receiving today. We will have enough cry in us that it will reach to Yahweh's ears in heaven, and he will do as he did in Egypt and have compassion on us for our cry. And this time is on the horizon. When you see the amount of death in our communities, when you see the amount of destruction in our communities, and the level of corruption that our people are doing against each other, and the amount of terror that is being wreaked upon our people, it is all evident signs that our power is gone. Look in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, the first verse, where it reads, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, and many of them." But before we go there, let's break that down. Don't you see that this time of trouble, like none other, there has never been a time in the history of man where we have seen what we're seeing today. There has never been in the history of man a nation taken from its homeland, sent into captivity by way of slave ships, as stated in Deuteronomy 28, verse 68, where we have been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, and our names stripped from us, as it states in Psalms 83, verses 1 through 8. In Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, verse 26, where our names and our name have been wiped away from remembrance. There has not been a time where our people have been oppressed in a manner where we're oppressed today, as it states in Deuteronomy 28, in Jeremiah, around the 14th or the 16th chapter. There's not been a time where we have gone through a state where we're this destroyed, members are cut off, and we're as a valley of dry bones, as it is stated in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. We are the only people in America and across the globe that are suffering this plight today. We are the only ones, and we are the only ones, and we're the only ones that match every sign and curse and prophecy written about the Israelites. We, the black man and woman in America, we're the ones that fit this description like a fingerprint does your own hand. We're the only ones. And that time is today. There's never been a time of this trouble where people have been this destroyed, this looted, this pirated, colonized, enslaved, battered, brutalized, mangled, raped, and plain out destroyed. There's never been a time where a nation stands up and does this type of evil. Not only are they homosexuals at home in America, but they're trying to force other nations to be homosexuals. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't do that. This place is the worst place on earth. This is your grave, Jacob. And this is the time of trouble that is spoken of in the book of Yahweh. And it is almost time to be delivered. We must return to the law so that we may be written in the book. Verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame and contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But ye, O Daniel, shut up the book, words of and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased, as it is today, because knowledge and the truth was thrown to the earth. And the fourth beast stood up and changed times and laws. And he spoke great words against the Most High. But now, today, the truth is being reestablished. And how is it being reestablished? How is Yahweh restoring his truth? By his servants, the children of Israel, as he sent his servant, Morei Elisha Yisrael, to speak and to teach and to direct Yah's word to his people to restore his sacred law, which is what the Restoration of the Sacred Laws Conference is all about. Restoring the truth and nothing but the truth, no matter who's doing the wrongdoing. We're restoring the truth. And this is what the Almighty is doing. And he said knowledge will be increased. And ever since the restoration of the sacred laws of the Most High Conference has been in operation, knowledge has increased. 20 years ago, nobody wanted to talk about when a day began. Everybody was fine and dandy celebrating a day at night. Everybody was fine and dandy celebrating a new year in the middle of the winter and in the middle of the fall. Nobody had any problem doing it until Yahweh sent his servant with a message to let the people know you can't celebrate these feast days of mine in a wicked land, and you can't celebrate a day at night. A day begins in the morning, and my feast times begin when a day begins. We don't do nighttime memorial services for a holy feast day. That's not when they begin. They begin during the day. There's only one time that we're to remember a night, and that is the night we came out of Egypt. But that also is celebrated beginning in the morning, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Sabbath. We, the children of Israel, by the Most High's word, are increasing in knowledge and have helped the earth increase in knowledge, as it is stated in this book, that knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked and beheld, there stood other two, the one on this side in the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him that lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and dividing of in a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. We are the holy people. Israel, the black man and woman in these United Snakes of America, we are the holy people, and our power is none other than scattered. It is scattered. He shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, and all these things shall be finished. So don't you see? By the destruction of our people, our power is scattered. That's what it says in Deuteronomy. Look here. Deuteronomy, hold this because we're coming back to it. But look here in Deuteronomy 28, verse 48. It says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 48. Get to it here. I want to read it verbatim. I don't want to mess up anything. So I want to read it verbatim. 28 and 48 says, therefore, you shall serve your enemies, which Yahweh shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed you. And we are destroyed. That's what the scattering of the power of the holy people equivalates to. Being destroyed. We have no unity. We have no community. We have no semblance of a unified front. We will not. We cannot. It is impossible for us at the state that we're in to come together and be a unified nation and stand up against this evil. We all hate each other. We hold grudges against each other. We hate each other. The old folk hate the young folk for not carrying on their legacy. The young folk hate the old folk for nagging them about their legacy. The mama hates the daughter. The daughter hates the mother. The mother-in-law hates the daughter-in-law. The father hates the son. The son hates the father. The brother hates the sister. The sister hates the brother. The friend hates the friend. And we all hate each other for hating each other. And we will not give up on hating each other because we're holding grudges on each other. And we're all trying to take it out on each other. And the Almighty said in Leviticus 19 and 16, thou shalt not hold any grudge, nor avenge, but you shall love your neighbor as thyself. But we all hate each other. And why is that? Is it because we just woke up hating each other? Or have we been socially and spiritually engineered to do so? Because the Almighty said he would give us statutes and judgments that we cannot live by. And surely it is the word of Yah that said this. And it is the outcomes of this word going forth that has allowed us to be socially, spiritually, religiously, educationally engineered to hate each other, as I've just explained and described. And here is the foundation to these sicknesses. In the book of Satan, Luke, chapter 14, verse 25 states, and there went great multitudes with him, and this him is the Christ in the New Testament, and he turned and said to them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You see? The Christ in the New Testament is to blame, and all the teachers of his message, and everybody that accepts it. This is why we're destroyed. We are scattered. Our power is vamoosed. It's gone. Vanquished. And that's what it says in Daniel, the 12th chapter, the 7th verse. He said, "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. Upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him that lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." So you see, this is upon us. In verse 8 it says, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my master, what shall be the end of these things?" And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for these words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made clean or made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly as they're doing, and none of the wicked shall understand," which they won't and don't, "but the wise shall understand." And if you're wise, it's because you fear Yah and you understand what Yahweh is relaying to us right now. "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But go thy way until the end be, for thy rest shall, for you shall rest and stand in your lot at the end of the days." When is this time? And what is the abomination that maketh desolate? When was it set up? Is it just an item? Is it just a building? Well, my people, look in Israel. Is there a daily sacrifice? What abomination is going on there that has made it a desolate place? Ask yourself that question, and maybe you might understand what Yahweh is saying. But what he's definitely telling us is the time of not hearkening to his word is over. This is the time to listen to Yah. This is the time for us to return to the Creator. As he said, the only ones that are found written in the book. And before I go to our callers, if you have any questions or comments, if you want to ask a question, if you want to make a comment, if you want to confirm the words of Yahweh by saying hallelujah, then the number is 323-443-7418. Or press 1 if you're already on the board. Press 1. Even if you're just calling in, you still should press 1 to receive, so we can receive your comments or questions. Or rebuttals, if you do not agree with what I'm saying. But he said, all those that are found written in the book. So, how do you get written in the book? How do we get written in the book? Well, by, of course, keeping the law. We only covered one commandment that we've broke that has caused all this evil to come upon us. Yahweh said we broke all his commandments. So think of the evil that is upon us. But just breaking one has done this. And that is, thou shalt have no other gods before Yahweh. But how do we get written in the book? Well, we have to keep, thou shalt have no other gods before Yahweh. We have to keep that law. And we have to do and behave as these in this book that are written, that I'm about to read in the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse. It states, "Then they that feared Yahweh spoke often one to another? What kind of qualities or characteristic qualities or character traits does one have to show to speak to another often? Well, you cannot hold a grudge. We cannot hold grudges against our people if we're going to speak to one another often about Yahweh. Then they that feared Yahweh spoke often one to another. If you say you fear Yahweh, then you should be speaking to me and other brothers and sisters around the country often. If I'm not, if you're not, if we're not speaking to each other and we say we fear Yahweh, but we secretly hold a grudge because you smacked my friend a year and 10 or 100 years ago, holding the grudge, hating each other for whatever minor infraction we've done to each other, or just because I don't like the kind of shoes he got on. Holding petty grudges and you're not speaking to one another often, that means you're not being nice. And Yahweh said in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, you should love mercy, love being nice. It is the desire of man to be kind. It is the law of kindness that comes off the virtuous woman. And if we're not speaking to each other often, and we say we fear Yah, then we're not the ones that fear Yah. But then they that feared Yah spoke one often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh, and that thought upon his name. That's how you get in the book. On top of keeping the law. This is the way you keep it. This is the behavior you'll show. And they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between him, between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Elohim and him that serves him not. Hallelujah. So there we have it. We have our condition is very grievous, and the only way out of it, the only way to get saved, the only way to become spared is by fearing Yahweh, the Almighty. That's the only way. Not by hating everybody like Christ said. So let's go to our call board. If anybody has a call, I'm sorry, a comment, a question, a rebuttal, or if you just want to say, you know, praise Yahweh, because those words that were spoken out of the book of the Most High were not your words, it's Yah, but they were Yah's words. So praise Yah, because it's good to praise Yah. So we're going to go to our board, and the number is 323-443-7418. And going to our first caller, 513 area code. Shalom, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, my brother.
Shalom, Elder Eliah. Good to hear you. How you doing?
Excellent, my brother Moray Isha. Yah caused your mouth to be what he said. Our mouths would be threshing instruments, very articulate in his words in the presentation, because Yah gives a spirit and it goes down. I just wanted to confirm that you spoke his words faithfully as a servant, and anyone who can imagine what salvation would be like, they had an opportunity to do it once again this eve before we pass into the Shabbat day on the rising of the sun, you know, hallelujah. So, yeah, just a question. And the horrors of which you spoke are such that I even had an incident in my home. You know, my son has not always been with me a great length of time, and he brought in some oysters to put on top of a salad. And I said, brother, son, that's got to go right away. This is breaking the law, you know. And the beauty of it was that he complied and immediately got it out of the house. So it's, to that degree, according to what you said, that we have to be about keeping Yah's law so we can sing the same song,
that's right.
You know, and be on the same path and walk together, because two cannot walk together unless they be agreed.
That's so right.
Wonderful, excellent job that the mighty Yahweh used you to reflect all this brilliant light. And I love you, respect you, and honor you, brother. And let's keep on going down this road together, because we got souls to save.
Hallelujah. Love you too, brother. Thanks for your call.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Shalom. Praise Almighty Yah. And we're going to our next caller. Area code 225. I'm not sure where that's at. Area code 225. Shalom, you on the air?
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Shalom. Hey, Black. I want to ask you. I listened to everything you had said tonight, and I studied the Torah myself also. A lot of our people, a lot of Israelites are dying and still dying here. But I just need, like, some understanding. Because he did say, I mean, because I'm trying to get an understanding. He said that he will rise us up and we will live in his sight. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So that means that he's going to actually raise up all of us out the graves, because a lot more of us going to die here even right now. I mean, in other words, I don't want to say the afterlife. I ain't talking about going to heaven or nothing like that, because I know he's going to bring us back into the land. Am I correct?
Yes.
But the ones that have died, will they be risen up again? I'm not reading that scripture right.
Yes, though that scripture is read exactly right. That's exactly what he's saying, that some of those that are dead in the dust, he's raising up everybody. Everybody's getting judged, and some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame and contempt. And they'll be alive again, so it won't be like they're going to float in heaven or anything like that. It's just people will be rising up, risen.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, yeah. Well, I guess I kind of like interpret it right, because, you know, I hear a lot of people, you know, like Torah only followers, they talking about there's no afterlife after this, and I'm like, well, that's not what I'm reading. You see what I'm saying?
Some people won't have an afterlife. That's what he's saying. Some of them are going to have everlasting shame and contempt. They're not going to have any life. But some will, and that's just a select few. If you read in the book of Isaiah, also, he mentions the same type of situation. In the book of Isaiah, around the 26th chapter, if we go there, and we'll start reading in verse 13. It states, O Yahweh our Elohim, other masters besides thee have had dominion over us, but thou only will we make mention of your name. They are dead, they shall not live, they are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore have you visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. You have increased the nation, O Yahweh. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You had removed it far to all the ends of the earth. Yahweh in trouble, they visited you. They poured out a prayer when your chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draws near to the time of her delivery is the pain and cries out in her pains, so have we been in your sight, O Yahweh. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not brought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Your dead men shall live together with my dead body. Shall they arise, awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust. For your dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. So he's letting us know here again that in that time of judgment, the Almighty will cast out the dead, and those that are found righteous will walk again.
Okay, I hear you. And the way how I'm actually reading, I'm trying to get an understanding. The worst thing that a man can do is that an Israelite can do is break that first commandment. Correct.
Correct. Break that first commandment is it's all downhill from there.
Shalom, brother. Thank you.
Praise the mighty Yah. Shalom.
Shalom.
If anybody else would like to make a comment or has any questions, the number is 323-443-7418. 323-443-7418. I see there's a lot of chatter on the chat line, but when you got that much when you have that many comments to make, I don't have time to read them all. Seems like it's from our brother Ed Yama. I think he's been on the show before, and he's talking about a lot of, I guess, what he spoke about on the show, Christ in the New Testament. And we've dealt with that in length, but we'll deal with it whenever anybody calls us and wants us to explain how the Christ in the New Testament, however you see him, whatever you call him, is completely irrelevant to your salvation. Has nothing to do with being saved. Christ, he is not real. These words in the New Testament are really written down, and they really do teach hate, and they really do separate, and they really do teach idolatry, and they really teach it, and they're really based on a fictional character, which makes it very foolish to follow anybody following after the words of the New Testament in any fashion is following after foolishness. So we should be weary of any man or woman speaking in the name of any variation of the name of the Christ of the New Testament and supporting any of its doctrine, because it is a false book. And we challenge anybody on the planet, even if you're a minister stationed on the International Space Station, wherever you are at, we challenge anyone to show us where Yahweh mentioned the Christ in the New Testament and gave any kind of credence to his words. We have another caller, a 513 area code. Shalom, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, brother Yishai. This is Yavon. I had to call to just say that you gave a very awesome teaching. It's very powerful. Praise the mighty Yah. And I wanted to know, do you have your teachings on CD? Because I'm working with a lot of young brothers right now, and your message was so strong that I was hoping I could share it with them on a CD maybe.
Oh, yes, we can get it to you on CD. All you would have to do is call me at 513.
Okay, 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm ready.
513-237-5911.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
And praise you can also, praise Yah. Also, if your computer savvy, you don't even have to be that computer savvy, but you can download it, download these shows on your computer if you have that available to you. You can download these shows. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/houseofisraelATL, and you'll be able to download all the shows on our website there. But we could get you, you know, if you want a specific one like this show that we just did today, if you want it on CD, just give me a call and we'll get it to you. We're in the same city, so it won't be no problem to get it to you.
Okay, great. Praise the mighty Yah. Keep the good works up.
Praise Yahweh.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. And that's for anybody that needs to get in contact with me. Number is 513-237-5911. 513-237-5911. If you need to get in contact with me for dealing with the House of Israel of Cincinnati or anything dealing with Yahweh and what we've spoken tonight or any time, that's the number you could call if you need to talk to me. Also, for Shabbat services, if you want to visit us here at the House of Israel in Cincinnati, call 513-237-5911, and we'll get you directions to our sanctuary, 3470 Trimble Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please call before you decide to come. We like to welcome our visitors with the red carpet in such a way that has never been seen before when you enter into a congregation. Also, to listen to Holy Shabbat services, if you have no way to get to a holy convocation, go to www.houseofisraelatl.org and you'll be able to listen to Sabbath broadcast live tomorrow, 2 p.m. And it is the broadcast of Moriah Elkanah Ben Yisrael of the House of Israel of Atlanta. You can also listen to Truth or Traditions archived programs from Moriah Elisha Yisrael, Yahweh's servant, tomorrow morning on the Sabbath, 8 a.m. right here. Same phone number you called to listen, same website you went to, and you'll hear the Truth or Traditions by Moriah Elisha Yisrael. And not last but not least, Moriah Elkanah ben Yisrael on the first day of the week, Sunday, Yom Rishon, 3:30 p.m. The Word, the True Word, radio broadcast live right here. And I see we have another caller, but you're calling in the last minute of our program, so please call next week. If you need to speak to me, the number is 513-237-5911. But until next time, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we at the House of Israel. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
And that's very far from thee to do after that manner.
Favorite teacher, thus saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, he that made the same mistake again, he called it insanity. Show me a man without adversity, I show you a man without character. Send his messenger through us all to prepare us for disaster. Time is moving faster when the dream that makes it home, they'll be all living lavish. If he won't treat you right, won't teach you right. Serve Yahweh with all your soul and all your might. It'll make a brass monkey cry. True for tradition, to be the hearts of the fathers. Back to the children, there is no other God beside my maker name. Yahweh, a host, and there is no Holy Ghost. And supposing you thought he came to be priest on this earth, he said no. Old man for counsel and young man for woe. For show to the late great prophet who taught us the knowledge of Yahweh. Therefore I pay homage, giving glory to the Holy One, the King of the Kings, the strength of Israel, one day he redeemed.
Yahweh, all are my strength and length of days. Is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.